Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Wilson with you on Community Voice. It is a beautiful July the 3rd, Tuesday, and I need to be louder? Wow, I hardly ever hear anybody tell me that. So good morning. We have in our broadcast bungalow today, we have George Wheelis and Alice Robinson, the sons and daughters of the American Revolution. I bet you can't guess what we're going to talk about today. I'll give you a hint. We're not going to be broadcasting tomorrow because it's a holiday. So today we're going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence. So why was George, why was the Declaration even necessary?
Let me read this, because I think it shows some light, and Alice, I think, will probably tie in.
Okay.
And I got this off of, it's a good website, constitutionfacts.com.
Okay.
And they say, the significant aspect of the Declaration of Independence is that it changed the American Revolution against Great Britain into a revolution.
Yeah, at first it was just a rebellion.
Yeah, April 1775 until July the 2nd, 1776, the war was being fought so the colonies could regain their rights as Englishmen that had been taken away by the British from 1763 to 1775.
Yeah, I was talking to some friends about the difference between the French Revolution, which came along, I think that was 1789, mm-hmm. And the difference between that revolution, which ended up in absolute disaster, it was just mobocracy. Whereas the American Revolution was very cerebral. It was very grounded in some excellent philosophy. And, of course, the results were so much different. And France just descended into anarchy until Napoleon came along and ended up making himself emperor. And we still have the founding documents. And we still, fingers crossed, are abiding by the same constitution that our founders created. So I'm a big fan. Alice?
Right. I think when we first talked about doing this, we said we would start out telling the purpose of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to explain to foreign nations why the colonies had chosen to separate themselves from Great Britain. The Revolutionary War had begun, and several major battles had already been fought.
Mm-hmm. Lexington and Concord had mm-hmm. already happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that because I watched HBO's miniseries called John Adams, and I would recommend it to anybody. Episode 2 is the one in which it starts with Lexington and Concord, and then the meetings in Philadelphia, and the politicking and the strong arming of the continent. What was that body called? The Congress? I forget.
Which?
That body that, what did they call themselves? The ones that met in Philadelphia, yeah. And drafted and ratified the Declaration. But anyway.
Continental Congress.
Yeah, Continental Congress. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful depiction of all that was at stake at the time and the drafting. And so there were some changes. I think it was Adams and Franklin decided to ask Jefferson to write the thing. Can you talk a little bit about the drafting of it?
Yeah, it was called the Committee of Five.
Okay.
And it consisted of John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Robert Livingston, he's from New York, and Roger Sherman of Connecticut. And they were to draft the
mm-hmm.
what was been discussed in the Continental Congress. And it came down to everybody sort of gave it over to Jefferson to mm-hmm. write. And I meant to bring it, and I'll try to do the best of my memory, but, can't think of his name, but writes the column for the Sunday paper, Joe.
Oh, boy, I don't know. We'll call him Joe Bag of Donuts.
But anyway, about, Adams and why Jefferson and Adams pushed him. I think the three reasons. One, Adams says, I'm seen as a bitter, mean man. You are more polished and more of a,
yes,
more accepted, and you're from Virginia. And the third reason, you write a lot better than I do. So.
I'd like to add a fourth. I personally think he was the hottest of the founding fathers. So, and so he did a draft.
Yeah, he did a draft, and that was input from these fellows that I just mentioned, as well as some others. This made suggestions along the lines, and he wrote a draft which by the time it was edited was reduced by about one-fourth the words, mm-hmm. which is pretty long as it is yeah. now. So you can imagine, you know, how long it was.
You know, it's a beautiful piece of writing. I like to teach it to my students as just a piece of argumentation, you know, because it, and we're going to play at least the preamble and the conclusion of the Declaration of Independence in our next segment, as interpreted by HBO's John Adams, of which I'm a huge fan, especially this time of year. But it lays out the philosophy. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. So there's the philosophical underpinnings. And then it's sort of, what I like about it is it starts with when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for, that's about all I have memorized, but it's sort of saying, look, this is just natural. You know, just as a child leaves the father and the mother, so the United States, it's time for them to break the bonds that have joined us to England. To Britain, and there's nothing out of order. This is just what happens. But in case you want to know why, and then they go into all the reasons, mm-hmm. and they put all of these terrible. Well, they list all of the terrible atrocities that they lay at the feet of King George III. So it's, you know, the theory, and then so here's what we're going to do about it, and here's why. And then at the end, it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And we're going to be hearing about it a little later. Now, Alice, you brought something by that your friend read or wrote.
I did. Yeah. She's a history buff and is very, very outspoken and wrote this. I found it yesterday that she had written, and I'd like to share it.
Yeah, I do.
On... the 8th of June, 1776, Richard Henry Lee proposed independence in the Continental Congress being held in Philadelphia. On July the 2nd, the Congress unanimously voted to become independent of Great Britain. John Adams wrote that day ought to be commemorated as the Day of Deliverance by the former colonies. On the 4th of July, Congress approved the Declaration of Independence, which was first signed by John Hancock, President of the Second Continental Congress and Congress Secretary. On August 2nd, the rest of the delegates signed the Declaration north to south and right to left. The Declaration was primarily written by Thomas Jefferson and read in Congress by John Adams. It is primarily a list of grievances, mm-hmm. 27 of them, against George III in Parliament. The delegates became traitors against Great Britain upon the signing of the Declaration. The British American colonies changed forever after the action of Congress in June, July, and August of 1776. I'm proud that many of my colonial ancestors supported the Patriots and became first citizens of the United States of America when the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783, recognizing the United States of America as a sovereign nation. But I'd like to suggest that on this Independence Day and future days, you read, although it's very long, the Declaration of Independence and ponder what it says. These grievances helped shape the nation that formed during the War of Independence against Great Britain. The United States was not created to satisfy the wishes of political parties and politicians. It was created to be a bastion of freedom for its citizens. Our elected officials are supposed to be elected to do what's best for the citizens of the nation, and they're supposed to be public servants, not career politicians.
Amen.
Americans do their best when they're united, mm-hmm. rather than divided. Just a little something to think about on this 242nd anniversary of our independence.
Wow.
By Gwendolyn Edenfield.
Well, thank you, Gwendolyn, for that. Yeah, we are pretty divided these days.
We are. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just break those chains that hold people up to old ideas and you know.
Some of the new ideas are very upsetting, too.
Well, they are.
But they're actually old. I'm reading a book right now about the fall of the Roman Empire and some of the correlations between what happened back then about 44 AD or BC, and what happened, what's happening today. It's pretty disturbing. Mm-hmm. How's that for leaving this first segment on a high note? Well, we're going to actually go and listen to Tanner Health System, because they are our wonderful sponsor. And when we get back, we will actually play the Declaration of Independence, and we'll talk some more about the ramifications of it and how it's still sort of at work today in our culture. So stick around. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
And welcome back, everybody, to a special July the 3rd, or as I like to call it, July the 4th Eve day, with George Wheelis and Alice Robinson, respectively son and daughter of the American Revolution. And we're talking, as you can imagine, about the Declaration of Independence. Let's talk about some of the community events that are going to happen before we play the Declaration.
In the morning at 10 o'clock. The parade starts,
okay,
and it's going up Alabama Street, George just told me.
And yes, from leaving from like in front of Dairy Queen because of the new routing there Maple Street. It's going to go up to Alabama Street and then turn up to the square.
Okay.
And so, then tomorrow night at Carrollton Elementary, the Carroll County Community Orchestra will give a concert, and we'll have fireworks afterward.
I hear that. I have never been.
Oh, it's great.
Ever.
Wonderful.
Is it wonderful?
Yes.
What time do you guys put your chairs out?
Early.
Yeah. Yeah, early?
Yeah, if you want to be close.
Right.
Okay.
But it's also an event that honors veterans, and they encourage veterans, I think, to wear their uniforms. They have special seating for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay, so two things to look forward to tomorrow if you want to take your family out and get into the spirit of 4th of July. Okay, so we're going to play this excerpt from episode 2 of John Adams, HBO's miniseries about John Adams, in which this is right after all of the delegates, save New York, voted to adopt the Declaration of Independence. New York was in a bit of a bind, and they abstained. So what was interesting to me is that after the vote and the passing of the Declaration of Independence, nobody was cheering. The whole place was silent because all of the delegates were just taking in, oh boy, we've really done it now. We have really done it now. And you won't hear this, but Benjamin Franklin said famously, well, now we'll have to hang together or we'll surely hang separately, because they were in open rebellion. So anyway, let's listen to this. It's going to be about 2 minutes, a little over 2 minutes. And here we go.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another.
I'm stopping for a second because I forgot to tell everybody this. You're going to hear different voices. So you're going to be hearing the voice we just heard, but we're also going to be hearing Laura Linney as, what was his wife's name? Abigail Adams.
Abigail.
Reading to her children. So you'll hear different voices. Okay, so when in the course of human events, here we go.
And to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain... What's that word there?
Unalienable.
With certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is in the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states.
In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people.
We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown.
And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Bless you.
God save our American states!
God save our American states!
That's pretty. That packs a wallop, doesn't it?
Yes.
Did you like that?
I did like that.
That's really good. Okay, so there's some fascinating facts about the Declaration of Independence that George is going to tell us about.
I mentioned earlier that Robert Livingston was on the Committee of Five that was charged with writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize this until I came across this. He was on the committee that wrote the Declaration of Independence. He never signed it. He believed that it was too soon to declare independence and therefore refused to sign. I've taught history a long time and never never realized that.
Huh.
What was the other one? Yeah, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on July the 4th, 1826, on the 50th anniversary vote to approve the Declaration of Independence.
I mean, isn't that something? And they were sort of philosophically divided, weren't they?
For a good many years until they finally reconciled.
Yeah.
But they had a very bitter election. And we think our politics is pretty dirty today. It was even dirtier.
It was horrible. We should look that up over the break and tell people about how horrible that election is. And these were the patriots that put their lives on the line together. And they were so far apart in terms of their politics afterwards. And
I mean, people that there were 50, I believe there were like, if I remember correctly, let me look. I think there were like 56
signatures?
Delegates. Mm. And they were not in very strong agreement, except in a small little pockets here and there. It's based about the same way with the Constitutional Convention later, several years later. There was a lot of division and disagreement, but they all came together and agreed on some very important things.
Well, they made a lot of concessions to one another. Well, on that note, let's take our second break and hear from Tanner Health System. And when we get back, more about the Declaration of Independence, more about Independence Day on this Independence Day Eve. I'll call it that on Community Voice. Stick around.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama, because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Welcome to the final segment of today's 3rd of July, 4th of July celebration. Yeah, that makes sense. It's the 3rd of July, 4th of July celebration. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you guys, all of us will be at the parade and the fireworks tomorrow celebrating together the anniversary of the Declaration of this country's independence. How many years? 242 years ago. Okay, you had some quiz questions for George.
Well, I'm turning this into a quiz question because I asked somebody, how many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were born in the United States of America?
Okay, I don't know. I really don't.
The answer is none.
Oh, because they were all born in the British Commonwealth.
No, because the United States of America did not exist until after it was signed.
Yeah, that was sneaky.
Yeah, it is sneaky.
So they were all born, they were British citizens.
All but eight were born in the colonies.
Okay. That was a really good trick question. Okay. So it's a widely held misconception that the Declaration of Independence was signed on the 4th of July, but actually it was formally declared on July the 2nd. And that was a date that John Adams believed would be the most memorable event in the history of America. But on the 4th, it was approved. The final text was approved. Yeah. So, and it wasn't really signed and done deal until August of 1776.
Yeah. And even after August, there were others they signed after that. And the famous portrait of the signing of the Declaration of Independence never occurred.
You know, there's a scene, I think it's in the last of, I believe there are 6 episodes in that miniseries about John Adams, and there's a scene in which his son, John Quincy Adams, who was president at that time, takes his father to Independence Hall, I think. I'm not positive about that, to see that, to take a look at that portrait, that huge portrait that, what was his name, Turnbull?
I believe so.
Had painted about the signing of the Declaration, and John Adams just had a cow. He said, it wasn't like this at all. You have no idea. You know, we were not heroes. We weren't these towering figures. We were a fractious, argumentative, scared to death. You know, it was not like this. And he was really quite angry about
Plus,
it.
Plus, all the signers were not there.
That's right.
On that day. So the picture, it's still a pretty inspiring picture, but.
It is an inspiring picture, but. It ticked off old John Adams, that grouchy old guy.
It didn't take much to tick that for him.
No, he was a one-termer for good reason, I think.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about the Declaration, we don't talk about it as what's happening today. You know, we can read our newspaper, we can pray, we can sit down with our friends anytime because of this. It gives us the freedoms mm-hmm. that we enjoy.
Well, it articulates the freedoms that we have. It says you don't get your basic freedoms from government. You're born this way. You're born. Mm-hmm. It's self-evident that all men are created equal and that the Creator has already endowed us with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No talk of equality of outcome. Which is what some political thinkers are into today. But it's a declaration that says, we're born with rights, and we reject this idea of the divine right of rulers, that God endows the monarchy with rights, and then that monarchy can choose to bestow or withhold rights to people. So it was an amazing evolution in thought, I think.
Yes, and what we think about today on the 4th of July is just having a party, mm-hmm. having a good time. It's the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. But, if we really go back in our minds as to the basic things that happened so many years ago to let us enjoy this party, to let us enjoy doing the things we do without even thinking.
I was talking to my son the other day where we were cooking dinner together, and it just occurred to me, I don't think I've ever gone hungry a day in my life.
No.
I've always had three squares. I mean, that is an amazing, and in the course of human history, a very unusual thing to be able to say.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it? And owe it all to our veterans, definitely, and to our forefathers and foremothers. And I wish that we could have a little bit, maybe I'm being over, maybe I'm just overstating the case, but I sense the lack of gratitude in our young people. And I also think that comes from not knowing our history very well. George, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, but it goes around, and because when I was doing research, and we've talked about the memorial at the Veterans Park for the veterans, Revolutionary War veterans that served, to serve but could settle in Georgia because, I mean, in Carroll County, because, you know, we weren't part of Georgia at the time. But and I think it was, I want to say, it might have been Bonner, but anyway, in one of the old newspapers way back, he was lamenting the fact, and this was like the 1870s, I believe, that he was remembering the good days back when they honored and celebrated Independence Day, and some of the Revolutionary War veterans, Jesse Rowell and Alexander Goggins, are two that come to mind, and they were on the stage and they were honored and celebrated, and that had faded by then. So, it rises and falls over American history that we forget, and then something will happen that'll bring us back, like when Jefferson and Adams died on the same day. I mean, that was 50 years, but a lot had changed, and people didn't remember that. And that's what brought Charles Carroll back to prominence, because of the last living signer. And it brought a renewed interest in the founding fathers and in the process of founding. So, yeah, it comes and goes.
This is the time of year to gather our kids together, take them to these fireworks, the firework and the music. Right. Tomorrow night I think it starts at sundown, right?
Right. And probably get there early, because if you don't, you're going to be looking for a place to put your chairs or quilts.
Or park.
Yeah.
And then, but the parade starts at
10
o'clock. So be on the square in Carrollton at 10 o'clock. And I think Villarica is having a parade as well. Is that right?
I think so.
They have fireworks.
Oh, they have fireworks. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I knew there were. So. Yeah. Couple of options.
Yeah, don't just try to get in the square. It's packed. But if you want to see the parade in anywhere from up to the square, in the square, and on the way down to, I guess, Robinson Sandwich, old Kmart.
Oh, really? It goes that far?
It goes that far.
Oh, so you can hang out maybe near the courthouse. That looks like a comfy place to be.
Yeah, and there's some good shady places down.
Right.
Good
down
idea.
The street.
So we have 1 minute left. What do you want our listeners to be thinking about today, Alice?
Oh, think about what happened to bring our day tomorrow that we enjoy, to bring it about.
George?
Just be patriotic.
Yep. And be grateful.
Yep. Yes.
The lights work. We have air conditioning.
Yes.
It's a miracle. All right, everyone. We won't be here next tomorrow, but I'll be back on Thursday at 8:30. So until then, have a wonderful, wonderful 4th of July holiday.